Okay, the boy said today's daf is daf tzadik ches. We're holding the fourth line from the top of the Amud. We're going to have a series of memories of Rabba, and the common denominator, says Rashi, is that in each case, the individual who is mazik or perhaps a gazlan is going to be considered a groma ben izakin as opposed to a real mazik himself, and that's why he will be potter midine odam. More later says, however, in many of these cases, he would be chayiv bidinei shemoy. So Omer Rabba, hazoyin matbeis shel chaver liyam agon. Person goes and snatches. Now on the surface, it sounds like you grab the other person's matbeis and you threw into yam agon. We'll see in a moment that that's not exactly the case, but at least that's what the simple definition of hazoyin. You throw the other guy's matbeis into the yam agon. What's the halacha? You are a potter. You're a potter? Why are you a potter? My taima. Omar. Hommanach kamach. It's right there. You can see it. It's in front of you. There. You see it's at the bottom of the ocean. Says the Gemara. Iboy is shakli. So if you want to, you can take it. I'm not stopping you. Nobody's stopping you. Go and take it. Vahani mili bitzlulam. That's only a good answer, a good argument, if the water, in fact, is clear. And you can see it. It's there. It's right in front of you. That he sees it. Havlachur, naturally, if the water happens to be dark, black,
cloudy,
murky, cloudy, and the other synonymous term, that you cannot go and see it, like, then obviously, you cannot go and say, it's there, go and take it. However, says the Gemara, Bahani Mili, the only time that we say is potter, bitzlulin, davka de adye aduye, what means adye aduye? The Baalim were holding on to the coin in his hand, and this perpetrator came, and he gave a sudden hit to the bottom of the hand, and as a result, the coin jumped out of his hand into the water. Then he's potter. Avashakli biyode. If he actually took it from his hand and he threw it in, meizel gozle. That's a real gzela. Boy, maybe he has to go and do hashavas gzela. He has to go and return it. Kishasa gzela. Well, we know kishasa gzela. Whatever the matbea was worth then, whatever it's worth 3 minutes later, he has to return the matbea. And if he cannot reach the matbea down below, then he should go and pay him a new matbea. Now, what's the reason why there's a difference between slulin and between achurin and what they threw it in? So Rashi gives us the answer to all these questions. If you look at the Rashi, hazoyik matbea shel chaver liyam. That's about 8-9 lines from the top. Afol gav she'ein yochel litloi. Even if the chaver is not able to physically himself jump in and take the water out, because it might be very deep, even if it's tzlulin, it's nice and clear, but it might be 50 amas down below, you're still potter. Can mafarish be also, as the Gemara develops the facts of the scenario. Tolishak biyada, he didn't actually take it biyadayim. El adje means adje. Adje means to go and jump. Shahuisa biyad ba'al was originally hands of the owner. He gave it a hit from underneath. Venitzliyam, and therefore it's a rangi springing. It went and jumped into the yam. That hoyil utzlunheim, since it is easy to see, it's transparent. The kachozulay, and he actually sees it. Homalay, homanachemach. It's right in front of you. But it's not lost anywhere. I don't have it in my pocket. You see, it's right there. I
think
you skipped
a line.
Homanachemach
ve'inavuda.
I said that. I'm happy to repeat it. Homalay, homanachemach. It's right in front of you. Ve'inavuda. It's not lost at all. I think you skipped a line. You, the owner of the matbea, might have to pay an abar amira. Abar amira means a deep water diver. Lemeshit, to go and dive in. Ulamishkale, and to pick up the shekel, to pick up the money and bring it back. That's only a gromu. I'm not saying that you have to hire a deep sea diver. That's up to you. If you want to do that, come tight. But since I'm not the one that's forcing you to do that, you do it on your own. I'm just a gromu. It's going to cost them a few dollars, whatever it costs for the diver to dive in. The gromu is okay, but that's only if it's slul. Avachurin b'shas hatoza, at the time that the coin jumped in into the water. The havali mas biyadayim. Then it's a mas biyadayim. Ovidhu ve'ein ze goyrein elamamish to a mamish itizai. So what Rashi says is, even though in both cases, what it's tzlulin or achurin, the actions by the perpetrator were the same, and that is, he didn't steal the b'yadayim. He just gave it a push up on the hand, and the coin fell into the water. However, because of the fact that it was achurin at the time that he gave it, he gave that push, he knew, and everybody should have known, everybody would have known, that it would be impossible to go and find it. After all, the water is cloudy, murky. And murky, and dirty, and brown, and black, and all that. It's impossible to find. So that's really not called a goyrim. That's really mamish. He caused an aveda mamish, even though it wasn't that he grabbed the coin, but the combination of the fact that he pushed it up, and the water is achurim, you're never going to find it. You can hire the best deep sea water divers. You're not going to find it in the Yamagodl. So therefore, that's considered to be Yadayim, and you got to pay. I'm sorry?
Is this Yamamelech or Yamagodl?
The Mishnah Gemara says Yamagodl. Yamamelech typically might float. Yamagodl goes all the way
down. Yeah, Yamagodl, you couldn't die. You couldn't open your eyes there, so.
Well, maybe he puts on one of those.
Goggles.
Goggles, exactly.
They didn't have in those days.
Well, twice. I don't have any pictures from those days, so it's hard to say. The second Tosis, by the way, says, although the Gemara uses the terms Achur and Tzlulin, this is just really to dramatize the situation. Says Tosis, Lav Dafkan, El Afilu Achur, even if it's dark, murky, and dirty water, it's cloudy. If, in fact, you have a diver that has on his goggles a little flashlight, and he's able to go and see, then it's like Tzlulin. If it's so deep that even a deep sea water diver can't get to it, even though it's slulin, it's nice and clear, then it's chayv. So in other words, the words slulin achurim are laftafka. It's just descriptive and exemplary. They're just trying to give examples of what when you are chayv, when you are potter. By slulin, you're off the hook. It's grom of any zak and you're potter. If it's achurim, then it's like a real hezek and you're chayv. So Rashi, the Tosis, for the Nokat Slulim Achurim, Yishum Detzam Slulim, Matzi Shokalu. But Derech Klal, if it's nice and clear and transparent, but Derech Klal, somebody, Matzi Shokalu Bar Amira, then a diver could reach it and pick it up and bring it back. Ustam Achurim, but typically, if it's murky and dirty and it's cloudy, Matzi Shokalu Bar Amira, even the best diver typically would not be able to reach the coin and bring it back to the surface. So that was the first halacha of Rabbah.
So what is the actual halacha?
Okay, so how many hours do you have?
Not
too many hours. The answer is, if he went and grabbed it with his hand and he threw it in, chayv, nothing to talk about.
Right.
If, however, he was adya aduya, it means he went and pushed up the other guy's hand when he was holding the coin, and it fell into the water, now it depends. If it happens to be tzlulin, waters which are crystal clear, and you can hire an amayra, meaning a diver to dive in and to retrieve it, then the original perpetrator is potter. He's potter midine adam. He can't have any tightness on him. Can't take him to me. Take him to Bezin, but you're going to lose the case.
Well, you have to pay for the deep
because
attack.
He's only considered to be a grum of benizak. Grum means he only caused it to happen, but it didn't happen directly as a result of what he did. On the other hand, if it was tzlulin and there was achurin, if it was murky and dirty and cloudy, then he would be chayv to go and pay for the whole coin. The whole coin and nothing but the coin.
And when he did the Shas Maisa, it was clear, and subsequently it became dirty. You know what I'm saying? It's at the moment,
I think you look at the Shas Gzela and the Shas Gzela, whatever
Shas
Maisa.
Okay.
Yeah, that's also Masha from Rashi. Mm-hmm. So Rashi said at the time, see, Avra Achurim b'Shas Hatoza at the time that which is Masha that if it would be Tzlum at that time, that it would be off the hook. Even if later on it became murky.
Does he have to pay for the deep sea diver?
He does not have to pay for the deep sea diver. Mosadrav, ein mechal al moi shein brishu. So the reason is because you go and dive in. You want to hire somebody else. That's your business. So that's a
grum. I'm not a diver.
I understand, but the point is, I'm just the goring, the perpetrator that caused this. Didn't take a biyadayim and throw it in. He just caused it. Grum nizak is part. Is he a nice guy? No. Does he deserve to get shishi? No. Does he deserve to get maftar yoina on Yom Kippur? No. But
why is there such a bifurcation? Because the end result is whether he clasped his hand around the coin and threw it, or like why they're making such
The person shouldn't expose himself to such vulnerability that somebody could cause a grum up.
Because you're supposed to factor that something
exactly
hit your hand
exactly.
So you people really plan to that extent every...
People are careful. Be careful with what they do. They should foresee the grumma. It's like driving a car. There's a certain liability you have, even if you're not at fault, because you could have prevented an accident. You could have prevented this person from doing it by keeping it in your pocket.
So you're saying if a woman wears immodest clothing and it triggers a man to behave...
Doesn't trigger, it's something else. Okay.
We have a long blot over here, so we'll discuss those types of issues later. Right. So this was Rabbi's halacha. Masim Rabbi. So Rabbi asked the following question. We touched on this a little bit yesterday, and now the Gemara expands a little bit further. You have a case of Master Sheni, and you want to go and be Machal the Master Sheni with Mois, because you don't want to have to schlep all your Master Sheni up to your Shalayim. So, when you go and you're Machal it, like being poded on money, you're going to take the money up to your Shalayim, and then your Shalayim, you're going to use that money to buy food items. Okay. So, Zokti Mari, you can only use Mois which are Bershusai. In other words, they're in your local pocket, or in your at least your local bank, or your little under your mattress, but they're b'shusai. However, if you had your money in Kastra, Rashi's Kastra is a far off place, and there's a sakana to get there, and you don't have frequent flyer limousines, lifts, Ubers, or buses that go back and forth, or it's Bahar HaMelech. Rashi doesn't say, but apparently Haramelch is also a place which is considered to be far away and hard to get to. Or, unfortunately, his pocketbook, his wallet, his purse fell into the Yam. Ein Chal, you can't use those monies to go and be Mechalev. Now, the Gemara doesn't distinguish between whether the Mayim or Tzvulim Achurim. It sounds like under all circumstances, you cannot use the monies which are there on the bottom of the water. Why not? If the coins are in the Yamagodl, it's not considered to be in your rishus, it's considered to be lost for all practical effects. That being the case, why aren't you chayiv in the case when you cause the coin to spring into the water? There's a special halacha which doesn't apply to Kurama ben Yizokin or Hilchas Gezela. There's a special halacha when it comes to Maaser Sheni. What does it say in Maaser Sheni? It says that if a person doesn't want to schlep all of the payers to Yerushalayim, v'nasata b'kosev, you can be machalit on money, v'tzarta kesev b'yodcha, and take the kesev with you, v'lachta l'malka m'shivcha Hashem l'kecha boy. But what's this lashon v'tzarta kesev b'yodcha? So the Torah is telling you it's got to be Kesa, which is Matsui Biyarcha. Even though you know where the money is, I know that I have money in Kastra or in Haramelech, or I see it down in the Yamagodl, it's Lamayim, it's Tzlulim, I can see it, it's right there. I might not be able to dive so far, but I can go and hire a diver, it's there. However, the Torah says it's not enough to know that it is there and where and whatever. It has to be in your yad, it has to be immediately in your hand, ready, willing, and able to be used for Chil. If you have technical issues in trying to get to it, it's not Matzah B'yachah. And therefore, the two memories are not clashing with one another. The kasha that Rava asked from the Braisa on Rabba and Nishka kasha. The Yom Rabba, and Rabba gives now another example of Grama ben Yizakin. Hashof Mabeya Shal Chaveri Potter. If a person took somebody else's Mabeya and he was Shof. Shof means, as we'll see in greater detail, he flattened out the Tzuras HaMabeya. On top of the Mabeya, there was a big, beautiful picture of Abraham Lincoln, or whoever, and he went and was able to depress that face, that figure. We'll see how, when, where. He is Potter. My time, why is he Potter? Dolei Ovav Leimidi, because he didn't really do anything. What does that mean, he didn't really do anything? Because in those days, each one of the coins was worth its weight in silver or gold or copper, whatever it was. In other words, it wasn't so much the mintage on top of it that said that this is worth a dollar or 50 cents or a quarter. It was you put it on the scale, oh, it's a dollar's worth of silver, etc. So the fact that he went and defaced or effaced the face on top of the matbeah, he didn't really cause any damage. However, that's only if, how did he efface and wipe out this, the face that was on top of this coin, machi b'kornisa. Kornisa means a hammer that he went and banged on it. And Rashi says, tarshi means ason ke'evin chaloka. it made it now like an even, smooth stone. So therefore, it's now an even, smooth side of the Mabeh. Avashaiva b'shufina. However, if he filed it down, he took a file, like Rashi says, the nafochim have, like the blacksmiths have, to go and file down and make metal nice and smooth, then chasuri chasuri. By filing it, then some of the silver has come off, and therefore it's no longer 100 grams of silver, now it's only 98 grams of silver. So that's a real hezek. That's not just that he pushed down the figure, the face, but now in fact it's less weight than it was before. That makes it a much weightier issue, and then he abad would be higher for the hezek that he caused.
Even if he just makes it smooth, usually a coin, let's say a silver dollar, is less than a dollar's worth of silver, and the government benefits, or the king benefits, by the difference between the weight and the stated amount on the coin. So maybe 80 cents worth of silver, but it has the value of a dollar, and that 20 cents is the government's profit and benefit for minting the coin.
Right.
Why isn't the person chayav for reducing the value from a dollar to 80 cents by making it simply silver and not currency?
The Gemara is assuming that we're talking in those places where there's no difference between the amount set forth on the coin and the actual weight of the coin.
There's no sinuage. There's no margin there. Okay.
What about, I mean, today, the penny today, isn't the metal that goes into the penny?
It's actually worth more than the penny, yes.
So I don't understand.
So then we're not talking about pennies. What about a quarter? If you took a quarter and you melted it down, is it worth 25 cents?
Nope.
No, absolutely not. It's got no silver in it anymore.
Years ago,
it was worth a little bit. It's sort of plating
there. No, I don't think so.
Yeah, there were those Kennedy Hoff dollars before a certain year.
Before 64.
Even the quarters and even the dimes.
Right, they're all pure silver.
All pure silver. Right. What can you do? Everything today is fake.
Nixon took us off.
No, it was Johnson. It was Johnson.
I thought it was Nixon.
No, Johnson took us off, adulterated the currency.
Okay. Any other...
Shlomo
wants to add something here. Shlomo, what would you like to say?
It reminds you of, you see sometimes people put coins on the train tracks and the trains go and they flatten them. It wipes out the image of a coin.
Is that good or bad?
Isn't that a federal crime to deface currency?
But not at the time of the Gemara. At the time of the Rabbi, it wasn't.
So why do they put it on the track? What does that
do? It makes it larger so you can use a nickel in a quarter slot. It used to happen when people used...
like slugs?
Exactly. So a nickel now has the size of a quarter, and if you put it into a coin machine and it requires a quarter, it'll cheat it.
But it's a person willing to risk his life by putting it down in the tracks and coming back up for the quarter.
His life is worth less than 20 cents here.
Yeah.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Anyway, all of that is fascinating. But getting back to our Gemara, so therefore, if he leaves the coin intact in terms of its weight, all he did was he removed the face on top of it. Yes, he was goyim over here, certain degree of agmas nefesh for the victim, for the owner of the coin, but it's not considered to be a real hezek. It's only a grum at most. He's potter. However, if he filed it down, that's a different story because now he removed some of the silver. Ma'asim Rabba. He called Enoi, the Soma al Oznoi. We've had this commodity before, that if you have a rabbi, the owner of an Eved, went and he hit him on the eye, the Soma Nebuchi caused him to be blind. Al Oznoi on his ear, the Chorshin he caused him, Chas Hashem, to become a Chedish, to become deaf. As we know, those are among the Chav Dalet Rosh Yibarim, it's this week's Parsha, and the Eved will be Yoitzi, not B'Shem V'Ayin, but in this case, Ma'oizen Ba'ayin. Because our Gemara is not talking about a shein, it's talking about the oizen. Okay, every year to the chairs. Keneged Einoi, the Einoi Roya, Keneged Ozlev Einoi Shemeya. What happens? He didn't actually hit the eye itself. He didn't actually hit the oizen itself, but only Keneged Einoi, Keneged Oznoi. Gemara doesn't explain exactly what this means, but when we had this previously, Rashi said then that he hit against the wall where the person was standing. He was so startled and so shocked by what happened, and unfortunately he lost his sight or he lost his hearing. Others say, again, when we learned this a few days ago, we had this Gemara, that the person went and hit the Eved from the other side of the wall. It was a very, very thin wall. The Eved was standing next to a wall, and the owner went and gave a punch into the wall, Keneged Oznai, on the other side of the wall. And again, once again, the Eved was so startled by what happened, and he lost his hearing or his sight, then he doesn't go out the chairs. And why doesn't he go to the Chayis? Because that's only considered to be a groma, not the actual action of hitting him on the oizen or on the eye. What's the Gemara's kasha? So if you look again at the Rashi, al oznei v'char shoy, it's about 10 lines to the bottom. It says Rashi. Al ma'avagav v'loi chosrei. Again, we're talking about not the keneged oznei, but al oznei, on the oizen. There was no chesor over here. Why? The ear is still intact. Nothing looks changed from before. Since he actually hit the Eved on his ear, that's not a groma. That's mamish. And that's the reason why the Eved is Yotze ben Lechavis. Since he went and banged on the cornice and he effaced the face on top of the coin, not of Al-Koch, but it should say the Al-Korchach, Chosroi, Domim, Maisehu. Even though we haven't lost any value of silver, but nevertheless, the average storekeeper or the average banker is not going to want to take it at full face value because there is no figure on top, and he'll probably give him some sort of small discount of a 2 or 3% just because you don't see the Abraham Lincoln or the George Washington or whatever on the coin. So that being the case, what do I see? I see from our case of the Oznoi that even though everything is still totally intact, there is no chisaroi. Nevertheless, a maisa begufoi is not a grama, and that's why it's yoytzel cheves. So over here too, we have a situation with the coin. It was a maisa begufoi. He hit the coin a few times until he made it nice and flat and all the rest, like putting it on the railroad tracks according to Shlomo, etc., but only in rural areas. Anyway, so you see that going and banging, even if it doesn't cause a chisaron, if it's a maisa begufoi, it's not a grama, and the eved yotze ben lecheiros. So why don't we say the same thing over here? Banging on the coin is a maisa begufoi, it's not a grama. You should have to go and pay whatever amount it's worth less than it was before. And we already had this rabba a few days ago, the Amar Rabba, Chorshali Oviv Neherag. If Chas HaShem, a person goes and gives a Zetz, he goes and hits his father, Rachman Litzlan, in his ear. So we have this week's Shedra, Gesundheit.
Thank you.
Make over the Imoy Mois Yumas. But Rashi in Chumash brings from Chazal, we had this in the Gemara a few days ago, that it's only if it's a Makah Sheyesh Bo Chabura, where there is some letting out of blood, just hitting, although that's a terrible thing to give a patch to one's father or mother, Rachman Litzlan. But there's no din of misa unless there's a chabura, there's at least some letting of blood. So Rabbi said, Choshlov, if a person hit his father's ear and it caused his father never to become a chayresh, to become deaf, neharag. Why? I don't see anything. You just see an intact ear. You don't see it. She efshel charisha b'loy chabura. The tipsa de doma nafles lay. If you had a microscope or if you had one of these fancy machines, one of the MRIs or whatever, you'd be able to go and see that nebuch some blood internally came out of some sort of vessel in the ear, fell into the person's head or whatever, and as a result, nebuch, that's how he became deaf. So there was taka chabur, so this wasn't just a grumma, and this wasn't just a maisa, this is the real McCoy that dam came out, nofale biune. So that's the situation where Rabbah says that's why he's taka yoitz ben lecheres, because it's not just osa maisim kufa v'laf chosrei. There was a major chisaron. What was the chisaron? That the blood spilled inside Nebuch, the father's head. So therefore, it's not like the case of the banging on the cornice, the loy chosrei. It's totally intact. Here, the ear is no longer intact. Even on the outside, it looks perfect. But the inside, Nebuch, there's blood flowing in the brain. It's a toynish. New case, v'yomarav. What happens if a person went over to the parah of his chaver and he was tzorei? What is tzorei? Says Rashi, pogeim. Pogeim means he made some sort of wound, and we're talking about a permanent wound. Maybe he pulled off a little, he cut off a piece, he made a hole in it, but this is the type of thing that doesn't heal on a permanent, regular basis. So you're potter. Why are you potter? You cause damage. My time. I'll tell you, because parah kid a kind of kaima. As far as the parah is concerned, the parah continues doing its daily actions as if nothing happened, meaning that the parah will continue to produce milk, and the parah will continue to go and do whatever plowing you want. The parah will continue mating and hopefully bring you more velodes into the world. Nothing has really changed vis-a-vis the parah, except for one thing. that you can no longer bring this parah for a carbon. Why can't you bring it for a carbon? Because it's a balmut. No, the kulu shvarim lav the gamim mizbeach kaimi. If a person has 50 or 100 shvarim or parahs in his flock, not everyone he's going to have in mind to bring for a carbon. Yes, it's true, you're now denying him the possibility of bringing this for a carbon. Fine. His intention anyway was not to go and bring dafka this parah. You know, and if he had in mind this parah, he'll take the parah's twin. There are bound to be many other parahs for shvarim that he can get instead. So therefore, it's not considered to be a real grum, and not a real hezek, only a grumma. Once again, you're part of it. Masa brava frita brava. Hoisa masa b'meichatos b'paras chatos. Part of dina anu b'chai b'dina shemoyim. Whenever the person takes meichatos or paras chatos. Now, what means meichatos? That's the water that you retrieve from a mayim chayim al keli, which you intend mixing with it some ash. After you mix it, then you intend going ash, of course, from the parah duma, and then going and spritzing on a person that was nebach tmei mes. What did someone do? He was oisa malacha. Now, what type of malacha can you do with mechata? Says Rashi, last Rashi over here, he went and put it on a weight. Meaning, this person wanted to go and weigh, for instance, he wanted to buy or sell a piece of meat, particularly, let's say, a pound of meat, and we didn't have a weight to put on the other side. But I know that this mechatas was exactly a pound. So I put the mechatas on one side of the scale, put the meat to the other side of the scale. When I see that they're exactly the same, oh, now I can go and buy and sell the meat because I know the meat is the same weight as mechatas and it's 1 pound. So that's considered to be oisa malocha. Now, obviously, nothing has changed vis-a-vis the water itself. The water didn't become green, yellow, blue, white. It remained exactly the same mechatas with it. But since he had wusa clear,
didn't chayav b'din shemayim?
That's what Gemara says. Hoyis malacha lemechatas varshatas part with the other chayav b'din shemayim. Exactly what you just said. So now the Gemara is medayik. It says malacha, malacha hu d'lay minker. If you did this malacha that we just spoke about, putting it on the mishko, you can't see any change in the mechatas at all. Mechatas remained exactly the way it was. No change whatsoever. However, that's because melacha leminkah, leminkah hezek. You don't see any hezek. Avot soiren, if you go and pull on the other behemoth's ears and cause there to be some permanent mum, the minkah. No, that's hezekah. It's a minkah hezekah. So zokti more lechoyra hakanam demachay b'dini adam. Lechoyra should be chay b'dini adam. When are you potter by the mechatas? It's only because it's a hezek shein and nikkah. You don't even see that he did melacha. But if you had a hezek nicker, like the case of the tzoyrim, so the chayyim should be chayiv. Why did we say by the tzoyrim, oh, isn't that your potur? Amihu adinah for the tzoyrim potur. The truth of the matter is, the brisa that says, or the mishnah that says, oh, isa malacha mechatzas, your potur b'dinei adam holds also by tzoyrim, your potur. Even though it's not just a case of a malacha, it's a case of a hezek nicker, you see the mum. Why does the mishnah brisa talk about a case of malacha? Why don't we talk about doing taka a hezek nicker? We want to take the chiddush that the malacha to loy minker hezeker, even by a malacha where you cannot tell any hezek whatsoever. Chayiv dina shemayim. So the chiddush is not that you're potter din yodim, because sai malacha, sai hezek she nicker, sai hezek she ain't a nicker, you're going to be potter din yodim. However, chayiv dina shemayim, you're going to be chayiv. Now, what's the reason why you're potter b'dinei adam?
Yeah.
Because the Gemara holds that this is the same as the Gemara said before, that kulu shvarim lav legad mizbeach kaimi. So even though you have now spoiled this part of that you can't bring it for a carbon, no, so you can't bring it for a carbon. But there's one obvious question over here.
You still have
hezek. 1 second, we'll talk about it in a moment. It says the Gemara, by the mechatzas and poros chatzas, she'll say the same svara. Lav kol mechatzas v'lav kol poros le paraduma kaimi. But Tosis in the bottom says that that's a very shver svara. Memele b'meichatos, which is mayim chayim el keli, even before you go put the ash in, then you go and say, fine. So if you've ruined this mayim chayim,
pour it out and bring more.
Exactly. You'll buy a bottle of mayim chayim soda. It will be possible. But you go and get mayim chayim from the mayim, and that will certainly be chayim. So there's no problem. However, by poros chatos, you're going to go and say, lav kol porois le'gab mizbeach, le'gab poraduma kaimi. If you have a poraduma, which is taka red, when any Jew that sees it, any knowledgeable Jew that sees it, says automatically, I know what they're going to do with this paraduma. They're eventually going to use it for a paraduma, because a paraduma is worth many, many times what a normal para. If its brother or a sister or whatever, the para is has two black hairs, the whole thing is already disqualified. This para aduma that is totally, totally red from top to toe, from being up from the toes to the nose, this can go and get a formidable fortune, maybe $1 million, maybe more, a lot of money. So don't tell me that this is lav le mizbeach or lav le para aduma kind of. It is. So therefore, Tosfos on the bottom says, take out the words paras chatos. Really, the focus is on the mechatos, not on the paras chatos. But the point of all of this is that this is all considered to be, at most, a hezek she'eino nikker, which, according to my Yom Alav Shmei Hezek, is simple. And even if you hold that it's a hezek nikker, it's still considered to be a groma and not a real hezek. Just like by the shor, the para can continue doing all the work from A to Z. Ah, you've now spoiled it, you can't bring it for a carton. Probably the owner didn't bring it for a carton anyway. Same thing with the mechatas. Even the mechatas you can't use anymore as mayim chayim, fine. So you go and bring new mechatas. You can still drink this mechatas and make a coffee if you put it into a hot water thing. So therefore, you haven't spoiled it. At most, it's just a grum of izakin, and therefore you are hot. The Omer Rabba, two lines from the bottom. Hasoyde p'shtore shel chaver. This is the most startling and amazing of Rabba's memories for today. Person went and took somebody else's promissory note. The promissory note says, I owe Reuven whatever, $1,000. And guess what happened? Somebody else went and took that promissory note and he burned it. He's potter. Potter. The guy's going to lose $1,000. I didn't go and take anything which is physically worth funds. I just took a piece of paper. The piece of paper was written up, but there's no inherent intrinsic value to the paper. The paper itself is worth a penny. And therefore, I only went and ruined the art. Ah, you won't be able to collect $1,000. That's just a groma. That's not a direct hezek. Let me understand the fact pattern that we're talking about. If we have edim that know what it said in the shtar, perhaps even the signers of the shtar or other people that know what it's in the shtar. So what's the problem? Okay, so you lost the first document. Go and write out a brand new promissory note because we have two edim that know what it said in the first one. So write out a new one. So there's been no hezek at all.
Maybe shibudim.
Sorry?
Maybe shibudim.
Well, if you hold the Christ to a soifer, then it's automatic anyway, even if it didn't say.
The Mendy's point is the date.
Presumably, the edim are telling them everything. In other words, when the Gemara says ikli atzadi diadi, it's not only they know the amount that was in the shtar, they know the date and they know all of the text that was in the shtar.
And the money you paid the sofer is considered meaningless. The sofer makes a living too. He has to write it out.
Okay, so maybe you'd have to pay him that. The Gemara doesn't address that. The Gemara addresses the value, the promissory note. Elamai v'hilikasadi. If there are no edim, anan mino yedim. How do we even know what the promissory note was for? In other words, if I were to go and sue the person that burned the note, I'll sue him for X dollars. What's the X? Do you fill in $1, $10, $1,000, $1 million? If no edim that know what it said in the shtar, it's only his word that he says, it was $1 million note. Maybe it was a $5 note. What do I know? So how can you even entertain the thought of perhaps trying to collect from this soref? You can zetzain the case that it's talking about that the soref says, I trust implicitly and explicitly the owner of the shtar. If he says it was $1 million note, I believe him. If he says it was a $5,000 note, I believe him. What happens in that case? So he should be able to go and rewrite it. So the Gemara makes no difference. He is potter for having gone and burned it. Why is he potter? It's only a grumman disakim because the paper itself is worthless. It's just that you have the right to litigate and go and collect it and go into bezin. But the mice of the paper is worthless and it's just a grumman. But that's not so simple. That's a big machloik as a pshim rabbanani. Who's Reb Shimon Rabban? Reb Shimon the Yom Dabar Garen L'mami Kim Mamin Dami Mechayev. Who is that Reb Shimon that holds Dabar Garen L'mami? So Rashi reminds us that was an Ar Mesechta. The Gabi Kodshin. If somebody steals and they shlom him an oila whatever from somebody else, normally would say you're potter. Kesharei Eyo Om Rachmana V'lo Yishar Shul Hegdish. So if I went and I stole somebody else's carbon, he hasn't lost anything because it didn't belong to him. It belonged to Rabbi Nishlalim. I'll work it out with Rabbi Nishlalim already. But here, Medinei Adam, he wouldn't have to pay anything. However, says Rabbi Shimon, it depends. If this animal was a neder as opposed to a nedava, then the owner says, I want this animal. Because if you're going to take this animal away, I'm going to have to go and bring another animal to replace it. That's a dobra gurim lemomain kin mamain dami. And therefore, according to Reb Shimon, he is mechayiv. Since this shtar, you're right, this shtar has no inherent value. It's only worth a penny. However, it's a dobra gurim lemomain. If it would say on it, promissory note, $1,000, and it's signed by two kosher edim, I can go and collect $1,000. So therefore, according to Reb Shimon, mechayiv avadi, you would be mechayiv. Not like Rabbah. Like we said, because it's only a grum minizakis. So the halach of Rabbah says, Rav Dima Bar Chanina is famous in a machloikis, Tanoam Reb Shem Rabban.
Would that Rabbanan, you would start with that with Rabbah's teretz? In other words, how do the Rabbanan justify?
They're not justifying what this person did. They're just saying that since it didn't have any inherent value,
he can't collect now if he doesn't.
Collection is just a dovah goyim lamamim. It's not. This itself, this piece of paper is worthless. It's tissue paper, you can use it for blowing your nose. However, since it has these magic words that I owe you $1,000,
but that's a right of collection. What Rava said, maybe that's only because
Rava's saying that the reason why
Amino,
you're 100% right. The reason why Rava said to Mamino is not because he's arguing with Rava. He's just explaining what the fact pattern was.
Right.
Rava said, Shtar Shel Chaver, you burned somebody else's shtar, you potter. Right. So Ram Bar Chama said, I don't understand.
Right.
The Chari is a double portion. If you cannot prove what it said on the piece of paper, then maybe it was a nickel and maybe it was $1,000,000. So how can you go and bring the Soreif to court and say, you owe me money, how much do I owe you? $1,000,000. Prove that it said in the shtar $1,000,000. So Zerah, but that's not an issue. That issue is off the table. Teba Mamina, that he told the court, I trust him, this Yankel Smith is the most honest person in town with the highest degree of integrity. He's like the Chofetz Chaim, nothing to worry about. I 100%, if he said it's $1,000,000, it's $1,000,000. Now, is he chayv to go and pay? Says Rabbi, no, he's potter. Why is he potter? Because it's only a piece of paper. It said on in $1,000,000, it could say whatever you want. Lamaisa, it's only a grum of Benizakim because the paper itself is worthless, or worth a penny. Yeah, a penny you can get. However, it's only the right to be able to collect on this document. That right of collection, the Gemara calls Dover Hagarin Lamamin Kim Mamin Dami. That according to Reb Shimon, you're chayiv. According to Rabbanan, Dover Hagarin Lamamin, Lav Kim Mamin Dami, and your potter. Masvun Vuna Bereid Reb Yeshua. Aim with Yamashalem as later Reb Shimon, Dover Hagarin Lamamin Kim Mamin Dami, but Dover Sheikroi Mamin. If in its infancy, ab initio, in its inception, that item was worth mummy. Even if today, it may not be worth mummy. What do you mean? So Yomar gives an example. Kidder Rabbah, the Yomar Rabbah. Goes to Chomets of Nea Pesach. When did he steal Chomets before Yomtev? Ubo Achim Sarfet, somebody else, went and burned it b'moyed. Rashi said b'moyed doesn't mean during Yomtev or on Chol HaMoyed.
Erev Pesach.
It means Erev Pesach. So he took that person's Chomets, and he stole it, and he took it to the public bonfire, wherever it is, and he burned it, and he said, Kal Chamira B'chami, and the whole thing. And then he's potter. Why? Shakom Mitzvah Nalav Lavari. Everybody has to go and do the Bir Chametz. He perhaps stole from him the mitzvah. The Gemara says, elsewhere you have to pay the Asar Zehuvim for stealing mitzvah from him. But Lamaisa, he has not taken anything of value, because everybody is going to burn the Chametz. However, the Acher Pesach, which again Rashi says, means after that moed on Erev Yom Tov, so it means even 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Erev Pesach, if he wants to burn it at that time, then it's Machlokes Reb Shimon Rabbanim. What's the Machlokes? Reb Shimon, the Yom Tov, Gar Lomam, Ki Mamin Dami, is Chayev. The Rabbanim, Dami, Dami, Gar Lomam, Lav, Ki Mamin Dami, is Potter. What does that mean? What happens, for instance, if this person stole Chometz, and now it's after Pesach, and he still has the Chometz left? Can he return that and use that for the Hashava, right? You have a Gazlan, stole Chametz, a bad guy. He held it over Yom Tov, again a bad guy. Now Yom Tov is over, he wants to return that Chametz back to the Nigzal. Can he do that? So we learned in the Mishnah on Tzadik Vav Amit Beis 2 days ago. It says at the end of the Mishnah, the last two lines, Matbeya v'nifzal, Truma v'nimis, Chametz v'over Olav HaPesach, and now skip to the end of the Mishnah, Oymaloy Harishol Chalefanecha. Even though this chametz is now worthless, but it's the same item that I stole. I stole this chametz. I'm giving the chametz back to you. Mister, it's worthless. So therefore, says Reb Shimon, if this chametz is going to be destroyed, then the gazan will not be able to go and say Hashem l'cholufanecha because there's no chometz left. So the person who goes and burns it and takes it away, so then he's oiver, or he's not oiver, but he's doing the dover hagorim l'mama and kimamadam. He's stealing something which inherently is not now of value. It once had a value. This chometz, a whole load of 100 boxes of chometz, or of pizzas, or whatever it happens to be. It's worth a lot of money. It had a lot of value. Although today, it no longer retains any value. However, it's a davar agorim l'mamon. So Zok Timora, maybe this klal of Reb Shimon of davar agorim l'mamon is only something where me'ikoroi, historically, when it was created, it was worth money. Now, because of the halacha, it's no longer worth money. However, in the case of the document, this document was never worth anything more than a quarter of a penny, because after all, it's just Niyar D'Almahu. So it could be even Reb Shimon would agree that this is not in the category of Dover HaGoyrim L'mam. And that's the Gemara's Kasha. So we went through, we read through it fairly quickly. It's the first wide line again. What does he hold to the Mammon Dami? Ikra means historically and inherently there's value. Kid Rabba, what's Rabba? Do you Rabba go to Chometz and make Pesach? Chometz. Pizzas, which are worth a lot of money. If it was before Yom Tov started, in other words, an Erev Pesach, which comes to Olivari, everybody has to burn it. Acher Pesach, after that major Sreifas Chometz hour, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, whatever, on Erev Pesach, the Reb Shimon, the Mammon Dami, is Chayiv, because now he's taken away the ability to go and return this stolen item after Pesach. The Rabbanim, the Amri, Dovah, Gerim, Mammon, Lav, Kamamad, Dami, is Potter, because Lamaisa, it's now worthless. So, you're Potter. So, Timar.
How much all of a Pesach, and you're not allowed to use it anymore?
I'm sorry, what was your question?
You're saying what happened? He burnt it, and therefore he can't return it, and it's a Dovah, Gerim, Mammon, right?
And that's why. There's that small, narrow use of being able to be returned to its original owner to exempt the thief. That's
exactly.
How much all of a Pesach? So
it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Even though it's worthless to the original owner, it still is hashava.
It's worthless to the whole world. But the Mishnah that we learned back 2 days ago, I'm sure you learned with Mendy, says in the Mishnah, Hashal l'chol fenecha. The Kasim can go and say, this is the pizza that I stole from you 10 days ago before Pesach, I'm giving back to you. He's off the hook, he doesn't have to pay him a nickel. So if somebody were to go and take this chametz and burn it, even though you and I would say, oh, I did a great thing, chametz, it's ispasad banah, it's like chazer, get it away from him. Nevertheless, he has deprived that individual of the potential of the value of the money.
And on a more serious issue.
This is a very serious issue.
Who owns the chametz now?
The chametz was owned by Mr. Smith. It was stolen by the Goslin.
So all the Pesach, if he didn't burn it.
And the Goslin didn't burn it?
He who was chayev on Bayor Yemotz?
Who's chayev by Yeroa by Yemotze?
Goslin, because it's not in the owner's rishus. How can he? Is
the rishus? Probably, Goslin. Okay, so Gemara gets weiter. That's so says Gemara. But maybe when do we say Dover Gerim Mammon? I mean, Davka Bedover Sheikrei Mammon. Dover Sheikrei Mammon means that inherently and initially it had value. After all, pizza has value, whether you like it or not. You can go and buy it and sell it, it has value. So then you go and say, even though now it's Asur, but since at the very outset it had value, so it's Dover Gerim Mammon. However, in our case, the Dover She'ein Ikrei Mammon, in the case of the paper that never had any value, this paper was never worth more than a quarter of a penny, and so therefore, even if you own Dover Gerim Mammon like Reb Shimon, could be he would agree that this is not called Dover Gerim Mammon because it doesn't have any inherent intrinsic value. Miyamriya. And therefore, says Yomar, you're right. So forget about that. Don't say that this is totally the machloket between Rabban and Shimon, but rather Omer Meimer, Man the Don Dina the Gami Magvive to Mei Shtora Ma'aliyah, Man the Don Dina the Gami Magvive to Mei Niyora Ba'alma. The word Garmi is a very, very hot term, hot in the sense that there's a ton of Rishonim and Achronim that try to differentiate between Garmi and Grama. Bottom line is, Garmi is a very strong grama, almost to a real maisa, as opposed to just a causative action. It's, hey, really did it. And you can understand that when you're talking about a promissory note. It's true that the paper upon which the promissory note is written is only worth a penny, or less than a penny. That's true. But kuli al moide, a promissory note which is properly signed, and there's a hempik from Besdin, it's worth $10,000, $100,000, whatever it says on that note. So if you go and burn that note, it's not just a grum, it's a garmi. You're really stealing from that person, and you're destroying $10,000 worth by destroying that. So therefore, that mandiyam that you hold in the garmi, to make sure ma'al, you have to pay a full-fledged $10,000. If you hold it, garmi and groma are basically the same. A grum is a grum is a groma. You can't collect b'dinei odom. Therefore, you only can get maximum the value of the niyar, which is a penny. Now the Gemara tells the story of Uvda. There was a story of Masa Shoyim. The Kafya Rafram Lirav Ashi, and Rafram forced Rav Ashi, V'agvi Bey, and they were able to collect Kikishura Litzalma. And someone who went and burned such a shtar, he was able to collect. The word Kishura Litzalma is an expression. It's like saying, idiots. The best, the shenst and the besta. Mishamna umisota. But what does it mean literally? Kishura is a balkin is a beam. Litzalma that they used to go and use for fashioning either a sculpture or making a picture or making some sort of image. And they would only use the best beams to go and make such images or such statues or whatever. They weren't going to go and use simple oak wood, which would easily fall apart. You'd have to have a beam from cedar wood or whatever, from very strong tree, that you know will have a permanence to it. So therefore, Rafram forced Rav Ashi to go and pay the full amount, no discount. Now what means Rafram forced Rav Ashi? So Rashi curiously says, if you look at Rashi two or three lines further down, V'achvi Rafram Rav Ashi, Shesorav Shtar Chaveiroi, Rav Ashi went, Rav Ashi burned somebody else's shtar? Says Rashi, Bial Dusai, when he was a young kid, when he was a young kid, he's potter. So how could Rafram force Rav Ashi to go and pay? Didn't we learn in the Mishnah, Chedish Shoyte V'katan Pigiyosan Ra? If someone else was Choyvul Behem Der Chai, V'Heim Shchav L'Bachayim HaPotter, because that's the Chakot.
Right.
So some say Pshat in the Rashi, that Rashi means to say, that Taka when he did this Reif of the Rav Ashi, he was Taka Yelot. That it says in the Mishnah, that your potter only means Bishas at that time when you're a cotton. But when you become a god oil, then you're mechuyif to go and pay.
It's like a woman or gets divorced or widowed, and then you can collect on them. So the lien exists, it's sort of pending, it's suspended.
That's not shra, because he has no liability when he's a cotton whatsoever. You're going to say that it's megalgo allowed when he becomes a god oil. He's putter, he was putter at the time. Where do you get where was there a chiyuv that was sort of floating above him?
That's a very, very good question. In fact, you can go one step further. The one step further is the very same Mishnah that you're quoting now, that says Pekios and Ra, and they have to go and pay later on, brings both of those cases back to back. First it talks about the Cheshet V'Kat and Pekios and Ra, and then it talks about the Isha V'Eved Pekios and Ra. In the case of the Cheshet V'Kat and Pekios and Ra, Heim Shechol V'Bachirim is Potter. Then when it says about the Eved V'Ish Pekios and Ra, it says that they're Potter now. When they become in funds, when is that? When she becomes divorced, or her husband dies, or when the Eved is Meshucher, then they have to go and pay. This is back on Pei Zayin Amud Aleph. We have there in the Mishnah, smack in the middle of the Mishnah, Cheshed V'Kapi Yasser Ra. Achoy Ben Chai Ben Chavu Lachem is Pturin. Or Eved V'Ish V'Gasser Ra, Achoy Ben Chai Ben Chavu Lachem is Pturin. Avo! Mishalm Liachaz Man. Mishkar She'ish Shachar Eved Chayom Lishav.
You see, they separate the cases.
Exactly, the cases are separate. It doesn't say Cheshed V'Kot V'Eved V'Ish V'Gasser Ra.
And although it's Gadel,
exactly. So it's Masha from this Mishnah Taka, just the opposite. The Cheshed V'Kot have a permanent Pturin. And here it says that the Vashi forced him to go and pay. That Rafram forced Ravashi to pay. So some say that this means that he wanted to go mimachanechim and told him he should go with them. Sure, I did. Even though Taka Ravashi, you were only 8 years old at the time when you burned the other star, you're just playing around. You didn't realize it's Taka Emes. But if Nimishur Sadin, after all, now Ravashi is the God of Yisrael, you should make amends for what you did in your youth, and this will be a role model for our Klal Yisrael, and very nice of it. So that's how some learned the pshat in this Rashi, that it was Taka of Nimishur Sadin. Others learn totally differently of Rashi, that it's talking about that there was a Besdin panel of several Rabbanim, and Rafram was the senior member of the, he was like the Rosh Bezdin, and Rav Ashi was a more junior member, and they had a machloikis. What do we do in this situation of someone who went and burned the other guy's shtar? Rafram was of the view that this is a garmi. Rav Ashi was of the view it's a grom and therefore you're potter. The kafi Rafram Rav Ashi, Rafram kind of twisted Rav Ashi's arm that he should agree with him on the Bezdin panel to go along with him that the perpetrator should be punished, he should have to pay kikashur letzalma, and that Rav Ashi ultimately agreed and he went along with Rafram in this psak halacha. So it was a machloik is exactly how you learn pshat in the Gemara. Okay. Now we finish with Rabbah's various halachas, and now we go back to the Mishnah. The Gaza Gatei, here it's all yours. Obviously, we're talking about Surah Noah, and this man Yama says, you can go and take him, that's good Tashlumin. Who is that man Yama? I'm Rav Chisda, Rabbi Akivi. So this is Rav Chisda. Remember Rav Chisda, because we're going to have him in another 20 lines from now again. I'm Rav Chisda. This is a Das Yochad of Rabbi Yankiv. Who's Rabbi Yankiv? The sign you have a Braisa. Shor Shehemis actually Nigma Dina. We had this already before. You have a Shor that Hamis, that unfortunately killed someone. We know from this week's Parish and this week's Rashi what happens to the Shor Shehemis. What you have to do, Sokli, Sokli, Shor. You can wait for it to aid them. They say, yeah, this, even if it's a Shor Tam. If it comes a Shor Tam, then how can it ever become a Shor Amuad?
The rest of the Aga Machta Plate.
And Machta Plate because it runs away. Very good. Okay, so you have a Shor Shehemis. Actually Nigma Dina. The Bezdin did not issue its psak yet as to what the status of that shor is. So until the Bezdin says that it's sokli sokla shor, then it's a regular normal shor. Machori mochri, you can go and sell it. Hekdesh muktish, if you maktish it, can you maktish it? Shchotoy, if you shachted it, sorry, mutter, because it's just a regular shor so far. Echzir shom lebalav, if a shomer had taken the shor, and the shor unfortunately had been maimis adam, but since the Bezdin didn't paskin anything yet, Muchsa, you can return it. That's all Shalai Nigmadina. Shalai Nigmadina, once the Bezdin issues its psak and says, this behemoth should be taken now for skilo, if quickly the owner of the shor absconds with that shor and machor and he sells it, it's not his anymore. The Bezdin paskins it's sokli yisokel, ubala shor noki, noki min achosa, ve'in lo yanoa shal klom, it's now osa ba'no, he cannot sell it. Hekdesh of his makdesha, ain't a muktesh, no din of hekdesh. Shchotay, if he shechted it, sorry, osir. The basar is osir not only be achila, but even bahano. Balashon noki, nokim nechosav, he has no other. Or because it said, lo ye ochel, echad achila, vi echad anon, b'mashma. We had a machlekes earlier on himself. Fine. Echzir Hashem lebala. What happens if the shomer now wants to return it? In other words, under this shomer's, during the period of time that he was, quote unquote, watching it, this animal went out and was maimis. If the shomer now returned to the balim, because it's all lost in Bana. Rabbi Yankov Oimer, Avnish and Nigma Dina, Echsira, Shem, the Bala, Mukhser, it's all so good, you can even return it, even after the Gemara Din. Oh, okay. So there's a machloikis now, after the Psak Din, where we know now it's Osir Bana, because even Shchotei Basar, Osir, nobody's allowed to eat it, nobody's allowed to have a Noah from it. Zero. What did the Gemara say? Says Rabbi Yankov, you can still give it back. You can still say Harishalachol lefonecha. No, I said so that's our Mishnah. Zokti Mora, my labakim living. Rabbi Yankov Savor Uim Rabbi Sur had no, even though it's Osir Bana. Sokli Yisokel Ashar. Osir Bana Harishalachol lefonecha. You can still say Rabbanu Savi Einar Mizur and Harishalachol lefonecha. So this halacha legabe the chometz of Pesach. That's the machloikis between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yankov, and that our Mishnah says. You can return it. Must be Rabbi Yankov, because Kuntra Bonan ain't Oim Bisurin, no, Arshul Cholofanach. So the Choyra, what Rav Chizah said, makes a lot of sense. It's Rabbi Yankov. Omli Rabbah, I respectfully disagree. Loy, you're wrong. Tekuli Amominim Surin, Arshul Cholofanach. Everybody agrees that you can say Arshul Cholofanach. You know why? The Imkain, Niflegu Bechomet and Pesach. Why would they be arguing in this rare case of the Shor Shememis, Achig Mardin? I mean, after all, how many times do you have a shor nagach that's taken to Bezdin, and the Bezdin says, Sokli, Sokli, Shor. But chometz al Pesach, this is an annual event, every single Pesach. So if somebody were to go and chas v'shalom steal somebody else's chometz, a whole bunch of boxes of
noodles.
Of noodles, or a pizza, or whatever it happens to be, and now it's after Yom Tov, that should be a machlokes, that according to one man, the Yom should say, Harishol chol fenecha, according to the other man, it's also, but no, you can't. But they don't argue by chametz bePesach. Everybody agrees by chametz bePesach that you can go and say Hari Shalachol lefanecha. No machloikis. So what is the machloikis? El Amar Rabba Hacha beGoyim Dina Shal Shor Shloim beFarav Kemefligi. Ah, ganz ander machloikis, and that is, can you go and be done a shor lemisa out of the presence of the shor? In other words, does the shor have to be there in the Bezdin Shtibel when the deliberations and when the psakdin are psakdin is issued?
He said yes.
Oh, so that's a machloikis. What's the machloikis? The emes and the truth of the matter is, what is the shor going to do in the Bezdin Shtibel? If anything, it's just going to go and make noises and make a snout, and then it might even defecate and it's going to stink there. Who needs the shor there? However, since we have a pasuk, kemisas habalim kach misas hashor, that we learn that just like the balim, they have to be in Bezdin, you have to be b'fneim, you can't go and prosecute somebody if he's absent. Same thing, the shor has to be there. But it's a machlokes. Elam rabbah b'gam dinoi shloi b'fanav kemifli. Rabbanan sabi ingam din shloi b'fanav. The Amalei, I see, Nihle, have Marikna Leili Agma. Hashem is Sartia, Biad Mandali, but seemingly should do you Dina Bade. The owner says to the Shoimer, you Shoimer, you Shoiter, you fool. Why did you let the Bezdin administrators, clerks, grab the shore and take it to the Bezdin and litigate whether or not this shore happens to be a shore Hamazik or a shore Hamemis or not? If you would have allowed me to get, in other words, had you returned it to me a day before this litigation, before this court case, Hamarikna Lila Agma would let it go a Macha Plata all the way to the Agam, to the marshes, and then the Bezin would be silent. They wouldn't be able to decide the case until you retrieve that animal, which means maybe they would never have made the decision. Hashta, by allowing the Bezin to go and grab it and take it, now it's already too late. We lost the case, it was a Gemar Din, and the animal goes now to the Skila. And therefore, you have to pay me. No Arshul Cholifanacha, pay me money. You don't need a shor. Come on, give me a break. You need a shor in the Bezdin Shtibel when they're deciding the fate of the shor. I mean, what can the shor do? The shor is going to say, well, I'm going to bring an affidavit tomorrow of good conduct. I'm going to go bring witnesses. The shor is a shor, it's a Chabahayma. So therefore, you can be going with the Din Shul Shor, even Shaloi Befanav. The Amalei, my Avdilei. The fact that I allowed the Bezin to go and take the shore and litigate the shore there in Bezin, so if so, they could have held the entire Din Torah without the shore, without me, you don't need the shore. Well, maybe I'd have to be there, the shore may have to be there. But the shore certainly doesn't have to be there, says Rabbi Yaakov. Therefore, the fact that I didn't give it to you previously, is Malav Leimoyer, that's not a chesaron, nothing happened. That's why Rabbi Yaakov says, I can still return it to you right now. Don't have tainus on me. Oh, we should have been, let it go to the Agam. You take it now to the Agam. Oh, yeah, but we couldn't have had a Din Torah. Of course they can have a Din Torah. You need the shor to be there to have a Din Torah. Come on, give me a break, says Rabbi Yaakov. So therefore, our Mishnah is not going dafka according to Rabbi Yaakov out the din of Isuri Hanor Shal Cholofanecha. Because everybody agrees by Isuri Hanor, you can say Harishol Cholofanecha, even the Rabbanis, not just Rabbi Yaakov. This is Rabba arguing with Rav Chista. He says the din of Chomz of Pesach Shal Cholofanecha, everybody agrees to it, not only Rabbi Yaakov. The only machloik is the Gabi Rabbi Yaakov, and the Rabbanan was in the case of the Shor, whether you need the Shor there present in Bezin or not. However, the Gabi returning Isuri Hanor Shal Cholofanecha, that's unanimous. It's not just Rabbi Yaakov. So now the Gemara tells us, Ashchir Rav Chizel Rabba Bar Shmuel, Amalei Tanisa Midi Bi Isuri Hano. Did you hear anything in the Smedish? They talk about Hilchais Isuri Hano. In other words, he was asking him, what about in our type of case, like Chometz Pesach? Can you be Machzor or not? Amalei, yeah, we talk and learned. Tanina, we learned in the Pasuk, it says, Vahish was Exela, Asher Gozel, Mat Amalei Mashmuel. We need Asher Gozel for. After all, it says Vahish was Exela. Asher Gozel Yachzer. Yachzer ke en shegozal, that if it's similar to what it was originally, you can still give it back. In other words, the words ashegozal are ibrik. Should just say v'heishu zegzela. What's ashegozal? Shegozal yachzer. You can yachzer ke en shegozal. Now, what does that mean? Ke en shegozal. Mikan omro. Based on this pasuk, we learned gozal madbeya v'nifsal peiros v'her kivu yayin v'hachmetz truma v'nitmes chometz v'lo v'ah chometz v'lo v'peisach. Or Behem of Nevdu Ba'aved, or Shor Atzli Nigmardina. In all of these cases, you can say Ashal Cholif Anecha. Why? Because it's Ke'en Shegozel. It's not. It's It's not only can shagava, it's mamish, the same thing. The gambe, peiris, and truma. We're talking about that.
Peiris and yayin.
I meant peiris and yayin. I'm right. Sorry, I didn't mean truma. Sorry, I apologize. We're going to get to the peiris and yayin shortly. But in the meantime, says the Gemara, by all the other cases, the item that was stolen,
Hezek Shein and Nicker.
The Matbeah ben Ifsa, you look at the Matbeah, it looks exactly the same.
So the government that said it's no longer usable.
Exactly. The truma is the same truma as before. Now become tamei, but you can't tell. V'chomesh olav Pesach, same chomets. Even though somebody bowed down to it, lived with a person, same behemoth that was before. That everybody agrees with, actually, Nigma Dina. In all these cases, Shelcha live for Nech. So now, if you'll notice, on this list that we just brought now, if you go back to the Mishnah, where did the Gemara quote this from? From the Mishnah, Tzadik Vov Amid Beis. Tzadik Vov Amid Beis, we looked at this a couple of minutes ago. In the middle of that Mishnah, it said, Gozal Matbeah v'nistak, Peiris v'herkivu, Yayin v'hechmet, Misham k'shas egzela. Oh, the Peiris and the Yayin, the tak k'shas egzela. Now, it's a Matbeah v'nifsal, Truma v'nitmes, Chamal chamal pesach, Peim nesabra l'aveira, Nifsal gavet be'ach, Shoyse yoytze l'isokel, Nira ha'yishol chol v'necha. Notice, it didn't have the Peiris v'herkivu, Yayin v'hechmet, in that second list, it was in the racial list. In the racial list, it was Misham k'shas egzela. He was saying by all those other tzaddikim shel chol fenecha, so there's a misquote, if you will, or our Mishnah is arguing with what we just said now. Here we threw the hekivu, I'm sorry, the peiris v'hekivu and the ayin v'hechmetz, we threw it into the har shel chol fenecha. That should have been in the earlier case. Yeah. Mor is going to talk about that. Surely that's what was bothering Barry. But anyway, getting back to our Gemara. So, what do you tell Nochum? Rav Chizda asked Rabbi Bar Shmuel, tell me, did you learn anything about Yisuri Anoa Mismadish? He said, yo. We learned by Yisuri Anoa, it says in our Mishnah, you could say, Harishol Cholif Anech. Man Shamas Lady Omer Achulay Nigmar Dinoi, Id Misha Nigmar Dinoi Loi. Why does it say in the Mishnah Achulay Nigmar Dinoi? What about Misha Nigmar Dinoi? Even then, why can't you say Shul Cholif Anech? That's Rabbanon. Uktani, Chomet Vavlo Pesach, Armla Shul Cholif Anech. So I see, it's the same Rabbanon that say, by Nigmar Dinoi, you cannot return it, Einay Mukhsar, that was the Rabban that we had before. By Chometz Olam Pesach, they agree, Harshal Chofenecha, that you can say. Why, Taka, by the Behema, don't you say that you can go and give it back? Because the Chacham hold that this Shoimer erred by allowing the Bezin to go and take this Behema and litigate the case of whether it should go to Skil or not. Because the Chacham hold that you cannot be done a Behema, Ella Bifonov. Oh, so that's the reason why you can't say Ashul Chol Fenecha. So it has nothing to do with what Rav Chizda said initially. It's because it's Isra Hanoah, and it only goes according to Biankath. No, it even goes according to Rabbanan. Even the Rabbanan agree that you can go and say by Yisuri Hanoah, Harishul Chol Lefonecha. Just like it says in our Mishnah. The only dispute that the Rav Yankov, the Rabbanan, have is an aside issue, an aside issue having to deal with can you be going Medina, Shal Shah, Shaloi, Befanav. Anyway, so bottom line is yet another ride that Rav Chizda was wrong. Rav Chizda wanted to say our Mishnah is only Rav Yankov. Truth of the matter is our Mishnah goes even according to the Rabbanan. On Malaysia, Rav Chizda said to Rav Yudah Bar Shmuel, to Rabbi Bar Shmuel, please do me a favor. In Mishkaches Lehu, and you go back into Bes Medrash and you see the Talmidim, like Temel of Lamidi, don't tell them that you slugged up my Shtikal Torah, I don't want to have Bizyonis. So when you see the Talmidim in a Yeshiva, yeah, I'm not saying you should deny it, don't go and publicize, hey, everybody's, I got good news for you, Rav Chizda made a mistake, don't keep it to yourself. Let's get back to the page, V'kivu, Mishal Cholo Fenecha, Ay, Vatanam, V'kivu, Mishal Gishas HaGzeila, not like we quoted, what's going on? Everything more. Rapapa, Kanchi Kivu Kulin, Kanchi Kivu Miktasim. It depends how much rotting took place. Did it take a little bit of rotting? Or a huge amount of rotting? What's the nafkimina? Zugnum Forshim. Because a smaller amount of rotting, that is not
tolerable.
That is not only tolerable, but it's also Hezek Shein and Nicker. Because virtually every fruit that you buy, very often, as you buy it, if you're not careful, you see, when you come home, you oh, I should have looked at it better. And on the bottom of this pier, on the bottom of the apple, I see it's already for foil.
It's already brown.
It's already rotting. So that's something is erkivu miktsasan that is not
inevitable,
discernible and inevitable, and therefore you can go and say Hashem chalaf anecha. That's what it said in our Mishnah, the Perish for Kivu. You have to pay Kishas Gzela. Here Kiva Kulan, it's now down to zero. This was a beautiful, luscious apple 2 weeks ago, and now it's plopped, it's worthless. Oh, that's a Hezek Nikr Ma'oid. Then you have to go and pay Kishas Gzela. The Gemara leaves out the case of the Yayin, the Hechmetz, and in fact, because of that, there's a Sefer called Sefer Tertius Chaim, which was one of the early Achroinim. He says, Shver, why did the Gemara bring the Gabe the Yayin, the Hechmetz? And therefore, many change the girsa. Instead of Yayin v'Hechmetz, they have another girsa. For instance, you see in our Gemara 5 lines early, when we had that Aleph was to the Gra, that was Yayin v'Hikrim. Hikrim means that it started becoming like a krum on top. You started seeing that starting to slowly but surely starting to get sour. So therefore, what did the Vilna Goyim mean with that? It's now identical, at least similar, to the case of Herkiva Mektosan. It's not that it's totally worthless yet. You see, it's a little bit
on the brink. It's starting to turn.
So just like the pears, you're just starting to get a little bit. It's not even discernible. You smell it. You know, maybe it's still good. Let's just try. Let's drink it today, because by tomorrow it's going to be sour. Something like that. And others take out the girsa altogether. And others have yet another girsa. Does he have the Zion? Does he have another girsa there? Zion. He brings the Torah's Chaim, B'Shem Tosefta, the Nisnasich. Not that it was that the Yain became Choymitz, that it became sour, but Yain that it was someone poured it out, or they use it for Avodah Zarah. So then it becomes just like the case. Right, it becomes like the Behemah of an Evna Ba'Avera. So this was Yain that was used also for Nisnasich, also Evna Ba'Avera. So it's similar to that. Okay. Next case. Okay, Mishnah. Nasal Umn Lisake in the Kilkalai. You gave something to an umman, to a craftsman, to go and fix. Instead of fixing the kilkloy, and he broke it. Chayav l'sham, because I asked him to fix it, and he broke it. Chayav l'sham. Nosan l'cheresh, not cheresh, l'chorash. If you gave to a carpenter a sheet of table made again, l'sakin to fix the kilkloy, is chayav l'sham. The Gemara is going to ask in a moment, aren't we just repeating ourselves? What's the difference between the first case and the second case? Exactly. We're going to talk about that shortly. Vabanoi, and if you have a builder, Shekibol Olav Listar Sakoisel, first he has to demolish a wall, which was probably a Koisel Ru'uo that was falling, or whatever it is. Maybe he wants to build a new building. Vishibra Avonim. And as he was demolishing the wall, some of the stones broke. Now, apparently, the Banoim, when they did their demolition of walls, they made sure the wall came tumbling down, but the Avonim remained intact.
So it's Ramanas Livnos.
Exactly, to be able to go and use it for the next construction. But unfortunately, Bishiraba. Or Shazikan already caused that their leaves. It was a Hezek, it wasn't broken, but at least it was chipped off, whatever. Chai Vishal. Because he was called Litakein, and he was Makalko. Again, the same thing. What happens if he is demolishing a wall on one side of the wall, the northern side of the wall, and as a result of the vibrations or whatever, the other side down south, the southern side of the wall that fell down, that's potter, because that wasn't a direct thing. He was on one side and the other side. V'machas ha'maka, however, if it was clearly because of the maka, then you're chai. We'll see much more in the Gemara. How can you tell? Your machas maka, nish machas maka. Zoki mar. We start off the Mishnah with two cases, Nosan l'umnim, and then Nosan l'charesh. So Gemara Vasi l'shona, that's what we learned in the Mishnah. That you are chayv l'shalim, al shenosel l'choresh, she the teva migdal l'na'etz bohen masmer, you gave afertig, afertig means the finished product of the shida teva migdal, and you told them, you see it's falling apart, to the bottom, the side, whatever, please go and
nail it together,
and he gave it to l'na'etz masmer, b'no'etz bohen masmer, and he put it back in the nails, however, the nail obviously was too strong, or too big, or whatever, shibron, and in the process he broke it. Says our Mishnah, you have to pay. Avanosa l'chorish eitzim lasa shiutam migdal. If you gave him the raw materials, here's some raw lumber. I want you to put together shiutam migdal. He also made shiutam migdal v'shibran. He did it. Nice job. The carriage, the closet, the table. It's all beautiful. But unfortunately, in the last few blows, he blew it and it broke. Then you're potter. Why are you potter? My time umin koinu b'shvach kli. What does that mean, umman koy mishvach kli? If you hand over raw materials, and you give the umman to go and build a kli out of it, it's not when he charges you for his services, it's not that you're getting a bill for being a craftsman, but rather he is selling it to you. What means he's selling it to you? Since he took the raw materials and he made out of it a shiutei migdal, he's koyne it like a shinui maisa, even though we're not talking about a gzeila over here, but nevertheless, he's koyne a shinui maisa. Mendi were 3 lines after the Mishnah. He's quite it. And now it really belongs to him. So now, if it really belongs to him, if he broke it, he broke his own item.
Right. Shalom shavar.
Exactly. So he doesn't have to go and pay for the he's going to have to pay for the
materials.
The materials. That's like the beginning of our parak. Right. The goyzel hates him, and he made out of it kalim and stuff. He has mishalim the eitzim gishasek zela. So here too, he'll have to pay for the eitzim. He's not going to have to pay for the shever kli. That's what Ravasi said. So tonight, let's look at the Mishnah. Not only what happens if he gave it to Umnin and they broke it? Chayav on the shal. My love, the Yogu ate him. Aren't we talking about that he gave him the raw materials and he built it and he broke it and you have to pay? It is not like Ravasi. So the Malay shouldn't take the Migdal. He gave him the finished product, the completed plea. It was falling apart. He asked him, please fix it. Then he broke it. So then you don't have the Svara of Umnin Koine Bishmach Kli because this Umnin didn't create the Kli. He's talking about a Kli which is a finished product. Says he more than that cannot be the case. I mean, Tony Sefer. Let's continue on the Sefer. What's the second case? That he gave a sheet to the Migdal. No, Machlal, the Reish is talking about Eitzim. Otherwise, the two cases are really redundant. Right. We're just repeating it again. So, Oy Bazoy, I see that the first case must be talking about that he gave him the raw materials. And nevertheless, if he broke it when he made the fair to get Kli, it's Chayv L'Shalom. Not like Ravasi and not Umin Koine B'Shvach Kli. So he said, no, Purushikum Afarish. Really, the two cases of the Mishnah, the first two cases, are really one and the same. And the Mishnah is going and saying, Metaketzad. And that is, they start off the Mishnah. No, give an example. Ketzad. No, the Umnin, Sakhir, Kilkul, Chayav, Nishal. What was that? Keep going. So I know that Ketzad, well, we saw in the Ketzad at the beginning of the Mishnah. Ketzad, not Lumen, Nigon, Gabriel, Chayav, Nishalim, keep going, Chinas, Lecharish, Shintayv, Migdol, etc. So and don't think that this is some sort of remote gekvetched pshat. No, this is the mistab. That's the real pshat. Ketzakhtani. Why? He's on the bait. The Horatia hates him. If you think that the Horatia is talking about, they gave him the raw wood. And what are we saying? Chayav on the shalim. Hashdash minan. Hates him. Chayav on the shalim. V'lo yamrin umen kain b'shvach kelim. And we don't agree with Ravasi. And we say that Umin is not Koine B'Shemach Kli, and that's why you have to go and pay it, even though he was the creator and the manufacturer of the Kli. Then if he took a Shira Teva Migdal, me boy is the Chavad, he's going to be Chayv, because there's no Svar of Umin Koine B'Shemach Kli. So why would the Mishnah have to go and give both cases? Is the Chayra Raya Barura, Hachanam Mestavra, that it's a Ketza, the two cases are one and the same, and it's Purusha Kamafarsh. So tomorrow, no. I mean, the pshat that you give is a nice pshat, but it's not muchach. It doesn't have to be that way. Why not? Because Tana Sefer L'Gulei Reisha, it could very well be that the two cases, the Sefer is megala, it reveals the real substance of the Reisha. Shalom Yitayim Reisha, don't tell me the Reisha, Tomar Shid Tayim Migdal. In such a case, you're chayv l'shal. Aval Eitzim Loi, Tana Sefer, Shina Tayim Migdal. Chal the Reisha, Eitzim, Afil Ahochi chayv l'shal. No, these are, could be, in fact, two separate cases. Why is Rabbeinu HaKadosh repeating the case what seemingly twice? I'll tell you why. Because if it only say it once, I would say it's talking about a case of one Yuchayiv L'Shalim, only in a case of giving the Fejig Kli, the completed Kli, and he never, instead of fixing it, he broke it, then Yuchayiv L'Shalim. But I would have thought that if you gave him the raw materials and you asked him, please, go make a Kli out of it, and then he broke it, then I would say that he's potted, because Umin Koine B'Shvach Kli, Kamash will in the Mishnah, to have two separate cases. Both in the case of the Fantic Kli, both in the case of the brand new Kli, of the Eitzim raw material, in both cases, Chayov and Lishalim. So you have no Raya that it's talking about a Ketza. You could very well be talking about the two separate cases after all. Stop over here, boys. Have a wonderful day, Zagis and Tatzla.